disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
O life down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Thank you for the fellowship, Lord, that I have with the saints this evening and the fellowship we have with you. Thank you, Father, Lord, for what you're revealing, what you're showing, what you're working with us. Lord, we truly do give you thanks, Father, for how you're revealing your heart in this end time, for what you're speaking to us. And the work you're doing in our lives. We know, Lord, that all that we go through on a daily basis, you are ultimately working for your glory. This amazing work of redemption, how you've chosen earthen vessels, the weak, the base, the foolish, to confound the wise. Lord, that at the end of the day, they're going to look at our lives and they will glorify you. Even those who refuse to admit what they see will ultimately work for your glory. Father, we get the promises, but you get the glory. And we thank you for the way that you've set this up. Lord, there are times we struggle with the cross. There are times we wrestle, we go through the things that you know only too well. But Father, you are in control. You are sovereign. And Lord, you have ordained that you would reap a people, a remnant of first fruits, that would exhibit, that would experience, that would walk in the very fullness of your Son. We thank you for this, Father, and that it's through the Word, through the work of the Holy Spirit, through the work of the cross, that you will accomplish this, not by might, nor by power, but by your Spirit. We thank you for this, Father, in Jesus' name. Praise God. Glory to God. I want to look at what we were discussing. I want to continue with that, build a bit what we were looking at last week. So I want to continue to look at being cleansed. We're companions with Christ. We're being cleansed, sanctified, perfected by his word. And we're looking, don't forget, we're looking companions with Christ. We're drawing the analogy of marriage. And so I want to look at this theme this evening, that what God has joined together, let no one part asunder. What God has joined together, let no one part asunder. And I'm referring to the message, right? We're looking at being cleansed by the word. So what God has put together, don't let anyone separate it. And what I want to be looking at this evening, God willing, God is life, light and love. And we are learning what it is, by God's grace, not simply to be Bible taught, but to be Spirit taught. The Word needs the Spirit, and the Spirit needs the Word. So when we talk of the Word, when we talk about Scripture, we don't just simply mean the letter that kills, but we mean the life-giving Spirit, the Spirit that is in the Word. So we're talking about the message. We're talking about revelation. You see, Isaiah asked the question, didn't he? He said, Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? And it's one thing to have a head full of scripture, of theology, praise God. Some people say they've memorized the Bible and they've memorized all kinds of theology. But that in itself does not indicate that that person has the mind of Christ. Only the Holy Spirit can anoint our thinking. Only the Holy Spirit can unite us to Christ. And if we're to have the full understanding of the message, we must allow the Holy Spirit to work it. Now, this might be basic and you think, well, you know, we know this, but bear with me, let's have a look at this. Because God is so working his word in our hearts. Remember, we looked last time at the parable of the sower, and I want us to cut from there, right? The thistles, the thorn, the thorns, all the wrong stuff, the briars, they are the point to bear in mind, they are opportunists, and they will take any bit of ground presented to them. And so it is with the powers of darkness. They will take any part of ground that we yield to them. And our only defence is the Holy Spirit, but we have an experience in this, we have a responsibility. The only defence we have against that is that something is already there. And that is not simply a bare or a naked understanding of truth, just the theology of it, but the love in our hearts for God's word. The ground of apostasy, according to the Apostle Paul, was that they did not receive a love for the truth. And when our love, when the truth, when God's word mixes, finds the ground of our affections, that will keep us in God's perfect will. The whole key to this walk, dear friends, is the affections of our heart. When we love that truth, when we love the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, to love Jesus is to love his word. And it's all about the message. God is preparing us for our ministry through the message. We're receiving the message. It's not just simply a head full of facts, but the Holy Spirit is revealing the significance of those facts, the implication of those facts. God himself is interpreting those facts to us. And that alone is the truth. The truth. What is the truth? If you remember your New Testament theology, truth is that which corresponds to the facts as God interprets them. We all think we know the facts, but we don't always hear from God. We don't always understand or have received by the Holy Spirit that illumination, that anointing, that revelation, that inspiration. We've got a head full of facts. Facts can't be wrong. But what we're doing now, we're waiting in our preparation through the trials we go through, you know, the messages, through studying, through meditating on the word, we're getting that divine interpretation. We're being prepared so that we would go out in that anointing, under that anointing. We would have that conscious awareness of being sent, or of being, you know, that God has set that situation up. We are in the Father's perfect will, and that person that has been brought to us has been brought to us by God, and we have the wherewithal by the Spirit within to minister to that person. You know, the Lord, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, of miracles, etc., but God sees the message. Remember, we're looking at, you know, what God has joined together, let no man part asunder. Yes, we know that true in marriage, but also in this message, because we're looking at the bride of Christ, but also in the word. The word should never be divorced from the power of God. Paul said, I am not ashamed. Didn't say he was proud. This is much deeper. He didn't say, I'm proud of the gospel. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? Because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Greek or to the Jew, and also to the Gentile, the Greek. So it's to the Jews first and to the Greek. Now, let's be honest, we're going to look at details of this in a minute, but is there within us this lack of boldness? Is there something we're ashamed of? Are we ashamed of the Lord? of his word of the gospel? If we are, if there's a thing of condemnation, if we're not released fully and bold, let me ask a question. Is it because there is still in our hearts an affection for sin? Not talking about we've arrived in some kind of sinless, perfect, manifested, perfect state, but if there is still an affection for sin, an affection for self, in opposition to God, then that is the ground that we've yielded to the powers of darkness. That is a thing that needs to be uprooted. But when we bow the knee and acknowledge that, when we bow the knee and yield that area over to the Holy Spirit for him to cultivate, for him to cleanse and remove, the shame goes. And he replaces that with a love for him, a love for the word. And we are no longer ashamed. We are not ashamed because we have experienced, by God's grace, the life-transforming power of the gospel. We know because God has written that word on our hearts. It's one thing, dear friends, to have a knowledge of the law. The law was written on stone, and there it is, set in stone, unchangeable, forever, revealing God's righteousness and our absolute inability to go anywhere near that standard. The only way that God, that the holy God, that Yahweh could dwell in the midst of Israel after giving them that law, the only way he could dwell in their midst was through blood sacrifice. He had to institute blood sacrifice. And so now he is writing that law on tables, on fleshly tables of the heart. He's revealed to us the blood of Jesus. We're under a better covenant. He now dwells within us. And as we continue to look to the finished work of Calvary, remember it is finished. We're not looking inward to bring about that change, but as we look to the finished work of Calvary, the Holy Spirit is writing his law on our hearts. And our hearts, fleshly table of the hearts, to use a spiritual term, a figurative term, it's going to hurt. There's a delicate spiritual membrane, a tissue, and that flesh, it's living. It's a living thing that he's writing on our hearts, not a dead, but a living. And there's going to be blood. Why? Because there are trials involved in this message. It's the message of the cross. But praise God, because our hearts are living, they'll heal. The blood covers. They will heal, and they will produce fruit. That seed is going to produce fruit unto eternal life, and God will bring others through. God will bring others to him through you and I. You know, when God looks at us because of faith in the blood of Jesus, right when he looks at us, he sees Jesus. And with the work that he's doing by his Spirit, by the power of the Spirit, all that is in the atonement is being proclaimed, so that when the devil looks at us and he sees that we've learned how to use the armor, which we'll look at later on, next few weeks, God willing. When the devil looks at us, he'll see Jesus. And at the moment, the world doesn't read its Bibles, but it's reading its Christians. And sadly, at the moment, there's somewhat, seems to be a bit of a difference. But by the time God has finished with you and I, we're a work in progress. When the world looks at us, they will see Jesus, because we're those living epistles written on those new created new fleshly tables of the heart, tablets of the heart. God's writing on our hearts. It can't be painless, but he will heal in time, and he will revive, and he'll bring forth that wonderful fruit for his glory. Dear friends, why are there so many unbelieving believers? Because the arm of the Lord to them has not been revealed. But there is a remnant, and God will deliver them from the mouth, from the jaw of those wolves who are deceiving them, who are not teaching them much at all, or who are teaching them the wrong things. And God will deliver them. And it is to them that you and I are going to be sent, dear friends, as well as to some in the world. God has never divorced the gifts and the work of the Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit from his message. But we are being prepared. So there's today's reality of preparation, of removing those things in our hearts that would cause fear or pride or unbelief or shame or condemnation. He's cleansing us of that so that with boldness we will stand and bear witness to the risen Christ, to the glorified Christ. Praise God. Amen. There may be some tears, but in the morning, praise God, comes rejoicing. And as we stay with this, God is teaching us the message by experience. We are learning this in prison. You can learn in a library, or you can learn in prison, on the cross, in the wilderness. We're learning by experience. Now, dear friends, we're encouraging you in this ministry not to look at the vessel, but to go to the well yourself, that fountain of living waters. You have your own relationship with Jesus. He is personally teaching you. This is why God is making us independent of man, but totally dependent on him. And as we yield to the Spirit, you see, unity will happen. Yes, it's good to pray for unity, but understand, dear friends, that if we're praying for unity, we're actually praying for the cross, aren't we? Because the Christ in me responds to the Christ in you. The Spirit in me is in unity with the Spirit in you. But flesh and what I think and me and mine and thus and forth, flesh gets in the way. And so God has to remove the I think. He has to remove what I want. And it's when we yield fully to the Spirit of truth, we agree one with another. God is giving us a united message in this assembly. One purpose, one message, one Spirit, one faith. And as we look to that finished work of Calvary, as we rest in God's provision revealed in his promises, we continue to labour in his vineyard. Do not be ashamed of the gospel just because there are some manifestations that have not taken place or that are there that shouldn't be there. As long as we have the knees bowed, God is removing every vestige of the curse. His redemption has come to remove, to reverse the curse. Praise God, by the power of his blood, by the power of his word within us, by the working of the Spirit within us. We are living the message. A man without trials is not a Christian. We are overcomers, not just because of what we're going through, but because by God's grace we are actually overcoming. And that is going to be our witness in this end time. Okay, nothing's happening. You say, I can't relate to this, I can't stand this, it's, you know, here we go again, a promise of glory, and yet look at my life. Well, that's the problem. Let's stop looking at our life, and let's look to Jesus. Let's look to his life. Yes, he's clearing up a mess. This is a time of restoration. But dear friends, how fulfilling is this when we know, when we have that vision, that we're being prepared. We are in a time of preparation. We're getting that extra vessel of oil with those five wise virgins preparing, because our light will not shine by itself. It requires the oil, that anointing that can only come by preparation. We are those lights shining in darkness, are we not? But the moon has no light of itself. It's a reflection of the sun. It's when all the other lights have failed that you and I are going to shine. We will reflect the light of the sun, S-O-N. So between now and between the greater works, we've got a lot to do. We can be praying. Oh God, hears our prayers. Those are the cry from the cross. The most powerful words ever spoken came from the lips of our Lord from the cross. Came from him anyway, right? Before, after, during the cross. But you know what I mean. He always lived in the shadow of the cross. This is our message. The message of Christ Jesus, him crucified and resurrected. Praise God. The soon coming kingdom. This is our message. And God is revealing the whole message, the whole counsel of God to us. And the message cleanses us because there's trials. There are trials that work along with the message. And as we have revealed to us what those things are, then we can bow the knee. If you'll turn to Psalm 19, praise God. God is preparing us, dear friends, with this wonderful message. Praying, witnessing, fasting, yes, fasting, seeking God for our place and calling in the body of Christ. There's a lot to do. Serve your neighbour in love. Serving your neighbour in love. Learning what it is to walk in faith. And yes, that crucified life. Taking up the cross daily is a wonderful, is the message. But it's if today you and I are being crucified with Christ, we are being prepared for that end time anointing, for the greater works. Let's look at Psalm 19 though. He's speaking from, starting from verse 11, but he's, the context there is speaking of the word. And then the word, that living truth, convicts his conscience. And in verse 12 he says, who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults, secret sins. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of the great transgression, which is, you know, falling away. Remember those weeds that can just take over? So there's a progression there. But as soon as that word, that living truth, touches that living membrane that we call a conscience, that should open our eyes in two ways. A, it will expose something we didn't know was there, but also it could be that we knew it was there, but we didn't know it was that important. It was not that much of a sin. Why make all that fuss? But when God puts his finger on it, then you'll know. Then you'll know. And here we have in Hebrews, let's leave it there. Let's quickly turn to Hebrews 4, because we're being cleansed by the word, aren't we? And tears, well, praise God. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 4. Let's start with verse 11. Let us therefore, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 11. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. That seems like a contradiction. How can you be diligent and at rest? Well, there we are. There's that spiritual warfare in which we rest in faith. We've already got that victory. We're looking to the finished work of Calvary, but it must be appropriated by faith. Yes, we've been delivered from the curse, but areas of the curse still exist. They're still plaguing us because we haven't yet appropriated by faith what belongs to us as joint heirs with Christ. And it's that word that is provoking, that is inspiring us to appropriate them. Praise God. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of unbelief or disobedience. Why? Because the word of God is living and powerful. It's a living truth. We have a living faith. The word of God is living. God is life, light, and love. His life is imparted to us through his word by spirit. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So here we have that heart again, that living heart, that tender tissue, that membrane being cut by the sword, but really skillfully. You know, the word informs my prayers, and my prayers make that sword sharp. All of that is a work of the Spirit, who will just open me up and remove those things that are so unlike Christ. There is no creature, even the new creations, hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open. So looked in Psalm 19, the psalmist called it a secret sin, but it's only secret to us, not to him, not to Jesus. Naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. And here's a sign of maturing, friends. It's when we stop trying to kid one another and we look to him. It's to him we must give an account, not one another. Do we understand this? And so that, all right, so praise the Lord. Now, don't finish there. This is the purpose of the word. Seeing then, because of all those things, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we, yet without sin. Glory to God. Jesus, tempted with lust, with covetousness, with condemnation, with fear, with pride. The word says he was tempted in all points, yet, praise God, without sin. Tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We are exposed and cleansed by the word, because we have divorced the work of the Spirit from that word. And let the Holy Spirit, who exposes, also lead us to the blood of the Lamb. Let him reveal both. God's love is always going to be infinitely greater than sin or the powers of darkness. Let him reveal the blood of the Lamb to us. Praise God. Are you with me in this, or is it only me? Praise God. Psalm 119. Praise God. Let's have a look. Let's look, for example, in verse 99. Psalm 119, and we'll start with verse 99. I have more understanding than all my teachers, because your testimonies are my meditation. This is the ultimate. This is my prayer for you, that you would begin to teach me. You will have more understanding than me. Why? Because as much as you love this old bucket, you have gone directly to the well. You have gone to the fountain of living waters. Praise God. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. This speaks of a person who loves, whose supreme love is the Lord Jesus Christ and his word in their heart. And whatever happens, they will refrain their feet from every evil way in order to keep the word. I have not departed, listen to this lovely one, I have not departed from your judgments, because you yourself have taught me. How wonderful is that? Praise God. that Jesus himself, by his Spirit, he is actually teaching us personally. Now again, as bad as we feel, yes, we break the heart of the one we love because of our sin. But please understand, dear friends, Jesus said from the cross, it is finished, it is perfected, it is completed. And everything else that appears to contradict that in our life is a lie. And the truth is eventually going to set us free from all the lies of Satan. Jesus at the moment is setting us free. We will know the truth and the truth will set us free. But we've got to love that truth. That truth has got to be in our affections, not an encyclopedia gathering dust on the shelf. Not something that we can impress our friends with. But something that is living and setting us free and glorifying God. Praise Jesus. Are we finding this difficult? Do we have a struggle in some area? Well, Psalm 119 and verse 32. Psalm 119 and verse 32. I will run the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. And we experience pain with that. God enlarges our heart through trials, through teaching us what is important. He enlarges our heart to enable us to embrace this message. Before we can preach it, before we're sent, we must first be subject to it. We must experience it. We must embrace it. We must learn it by experience. Those trials, those tests, that overcoming. We are living the message. We are the living message. The message living in and through us by the grace, the love, the mercy, the life, light and love of the Lord Jesus Christ working through us. He is the light of the world. And so just as the moon, all that can do is reflect the sun to light up the night sky, so we draw our life and light from the sun to light up this world of darkness. But let him take over, let him do that and be that in our life. It's yielding to the Spirit. He will burn out of us, he will purge out of us anything that speaks of shame or darkness or the curse. And he will bring us forth into that light. He will shine forth his righteousness in and through us. Through our faith in his blood, he imputes his righteousness to us. And by yielding to the Spirit, we experience that righteousness. He reveals that righteousness through us. Do you get the difference? By believing in his blood, he imputes his righteousness. By yielding to the Spirit, he reveals his righteousness through us. Praise God. So yes, there will be gifts. There will be miracles. You say to me, what is my ministry? Well, I've just explained, haven't I? Prayer, fasting, discipleship, waiting on God. And it's good to ask, what is my ministry? But the motive of that should be, what is my place in the body of Christ? And my heart goes out to some who can't be, for geographical, physical reasons, who can't be in a fellowship. But God knows the cry of your heart. Give it time, and he will bring it about in his own time and way. But what is my ministry? Well, if you turn to Acts 10 and verse 38, Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, Acts chapter 10 and verse 38 says, how God anointed. Now, please, don't think that I'm adding to Scripture. Don't think that I'm changing it. If we acknowledge putting the whole Scripture together, that Jesus, you know, has said to those who believe, you will do what I did, So let's put that scripture together. John, is it John 14, 12 to 14? But let's look at this. Acts 10, 38. How God anointed FGA of, let's call it Woking, with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with them. We are in Christ. Christ is in us. And just at his first advent, he anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Even so, he shall be with us and anoint us, and we will go about doing good, healing all who are oppressed of the devil. Why? Because God is with us. Simply because we believe, and he will anoint us. But we've got to prepare. That message has to be living and being seen in our lives. Praise God. Praise God. In Mark 16, you know, they went about, I love this, Mark 16. Remember, we're talking about companions with Christ, aren't we? What God has joined together, let no man part asunder. Yes, it applies to physical marriage, so I'm not spiritualizing anything. But here is, this is really what the revelation is all about. In Mark 16 and verse 20. Well, let's start with verse 19. Mark chapter 16, verses 19 and 20. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, sat down at the right hand of God, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. Praise God. We cannot limit the Lord. He's working with us. He's working in us at the moment. Don't get all, oh, well, it isn't happening. I've been hearing this for years and I'm going to get all disappointed because it won't happen tomorrow morning. Okay, hang on. Well, what, first of all, what's your confession? But this is a work that he's doing in us to prepare for what he will do through us at the right time. It begins with me, it begins with you. You're saying it begins with me. As we get on our knees, as we seek the Lord in prayer, with fasting. I don't know what fasting is, right? Well, miss a meal. Just miss one meal. Miss all the time that it takes to prepare, all the time that it takes to eat, all the time that it takes to clear away. Miss that meal and give it to God in prayer. And your highest motive for that is to draw close to Jesus. Yes, you may have a need. You may have something that you desperately require breakthrough. But if you will simply give that time and that prayer, Lord, I just want to draw close to you, you will be astounded at what a great source in the days to come after you've done that, what a great source of spiritual power and strength and blessing that was. So much so, you will want to do more, and you'll want to do it again. Praise God. We're told that you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. But you can put salt in its oats. You can make it thirsty. I can do nothing for you if you're not thirsty, if you don't want this. But if you will taste and see that the Lord is good, he will do all of that. Never fall into the trap of trying to sell the gospel, trying to convince people. Just present the word to them, and the Holy Spirit will put hunger, that desire, that thirst within them. And if you're not hungry, if you're not thirsty, will you take a word of advice? Stop eating those things that are filling you up. Just put that stuff aside and just begin to wait on your God. Ask him to work these things within you. Praise God. Praise the Lord. It's the message, friends. We're being cleansed by the word. We're being cleansed by the power of the living God. And apologetics have their place. I'll say this as we begin to close now. You may think that you don't know the word enough. Apologetics have their place. Apologetics is that branch of theology that deals with presenting a defense of the gospel. But at the end of the day, you will never argue anyone into the faith. You can't argue with demons. You can't stop a person lusting. But you present, you stick to your guns, you present the word, and let the Holy Spirit put that word, let him do that work with the word in that person's heart. And he will, if he's called of God, if his name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, if he's been eternally called, I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit will make that person so unhappy. He will so convict and annoy and provoke and upset that person. And just, he knows how to save a soul. That seed will irritate him. That thing you said will just play on his mind until he's given his heart to Jesus. Let the Holy Spirit do the work. You just stick to your guns. You, the word do its work. There's no argument in this. Please God. But your words will only be effective because you've prepared beforehand in prayer and in meditating on that word. You've let the word do its work in your life. And so we go back to what we said to begin with. We're not ashamed of the gospel, because it, the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. So the Jew first, also to the Greek. We have experienced the power of God through the gospel, through the word, to transform our lives. And God will anoint that. The Holy Spirit will anoint that to the person that you're with. You may not have to say a thing. There may be all kinds of conversations going on in your place of work, and you're just there praising the Lord. They may be complaining about all sorts of rulers and presidents and prime ministers and the mess they're making of their lives, but you're just sitting there all calm, and they'll turn to you and say, well, why aren't you getting upset? And you'll just say, well, because I've stood before the king, or whatever your words are. I know the Lord is in control. I know God is in control. I know the Lord is in control in my life. Or they'll come to you desperate with a sickness or an affliction, and they'll know, because of how they know you, how you've lived in peace. They've seen the trials that you go through and you haven't run to the doctor. They'll say, give me what you've got. How is it that you're not upset with that thing? How is it that you can tell me by Jesus' stripes you were healed? Will he heal me? Will he heal me? Praise God. Let's look at Psalm 119 and verse 46. Psalm 119 and verse 46. I will speak of your testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. Praise God. I will speak of your testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. Why? Because I've heard the King of Kings. I've experienced the heavenly King, and no earthly king will ever upset me. I'll respect them. Oh yes, respect, but not fear, because I've met with the Lord Jesus Christ. So let them get upset about what's happening on earth, but they will see you at peace, and people are crying out for peace. They're crying out for answers. They're crying out, even though they might not know the words, but they're crying out for redemption. And when they see you and I, that light shining, that peace, that they can see that God is in control of your life. So when you tell them that in your witness, when you preach the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ dying on their behalf, they will believe it, because their eyes and their ears agree with what they hear and see from you. Do you get how it works? There's no contradiction. You don't have to get involved in political arguments. Our starting point, dear friends, and I'll close with this, our starting point is always Scripture. Don't get involved in these worldly, earthly, emotional arguments. Our starting point is Scripture. Just present the Word to them. There's no new ground. You can't discuss evolution and politics with them on their terms. We are witnesses of the truth. We are witnesses of the gospel, of the kingdom. Our message is the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that we are to be found in him before he returns, before it's too late. Let the Spirit give you those words. We should not be ashamed of the gospel. We should not be ashamed of his words. If we will always make Scripture the starting point, we can present the truth to them in love and not get all riled up in political or emotional arguments. Praise God. Praise God. Do you understand what the Spirit is doing here? We have experienced his word. We've stood before the King of Kings. No mere human can upset us. Praise God. He has circumcised our hearts. He's written his word on our hearts. The word of man cannot hurt or condemn us. The devil's lie cannot condemn us. Praise God. My thanks to brothers and sisters in this assembly who have borne with me through this. A lifelong trial of condemnation and legalism. And yet in my heart I've known of God's love, but there are just things he's dealing with. And to know that God loves me. You know, if we sin, when the Lord reminds us of the cross, he doesn't do it to reproach us. He shows us the cross to encourage, not to say, look what you've done, even though I've died for you. We feel that way, and there is truth in that, but the way the Lord presents it, I still love you. I've said over your life, it is finished. I have said to you, I will bring you through. I will preserve you blameless, body, mind, soul, and spirit. Just continue to trust me. I have forgiven you. I will bring you through. I will remove you. I will remove your iniquities from you. I will separate you from your iniquities. I will subdue your sins. I will deliver you from the body of this death, to present you faultless before my presence. Let my Spirit do his work in you. Don't give up. I won't give up on you. Don't you give up on me. The devil is a liar. I defeated him at Calvary. That's why he shows us these things, not to condemn, not to reproach, but to encourage. Oh, praise God. He receives our love. He receives our prayer. He receives our offering. If we will just give it all to him and not try in our own strength to please or to believe or to obey, but just humbly admit, submit. You know, at his trial, the crowd was saying, crucify him, crucify him. That was hate talking. That was just hate talking. Where was the woman that he saved caught in adultery? Where was blind Bartimaeus? Where were his disciples? Well, the same as you and I. They forsook him and fled. So listen to that. Crucify him. Crucify him. They forsook him and fled. Now that God in his mercy, showing his love by going to the cross. What has he done in our life? We now crucify the flesh. What we once loved, we now hate. What we once hated, we now love. We're now saying to sin, crucify it, crucify it. We're now, instead of forsaking Jesus, we're forsaking sin. We're fleeing from idols. Praise God. We're submitting to God, resisting the devil, and it's the devil that is now fleeing from us. Praise God. If we will just submit, if we will just continue with what God is doing in our life, but receive it by the Spirit, not by the letter, which the letter kills. And it takes time. It takes trials. It takes an anointed message. It takes the work of the Spirit to prepare us, to cause us to understand, and as we look there in the next few weeks, to really know, to learn our warfare, the principles of warfare, and what our armour is capable of. Praise God. God will start right from the Old Testament. Never do a thing by the New Testament straight away. It all starts from the Old Testament, how great our God is. But we'll do that when we get to it. But do you understand what I'm saying, dear friends? What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Healing is in the atonement, deliverance in the atonement, everything provided through the blood of Jesus. And the Spirit and his anointing, his power is in his word to transform our life. Don't take the word of life and make it a letter that kills. Let the Spirit give you the life that is in his word. Let him impart that to you. Praise God, dear friends. Hallelujah. God bless you, my brethren. Again, thank you for your time, for your attention, for your fellowship. I really appreciate it. Some things there to think about, to pray about, to speak to the Lord over. Let him do that work. Let him do that deep, deep work of circumcision that only he can do. And as he plants that truth deep in your heart, it will bear fruit to his glory as we yield to his Spirit, as we really, the most powerful defense we have against the enemy is as we praise him, isn't it? As we praise the Lord, you know, as we praise Jesus, the enemy will flee from that. He hates to hear heartfelt praise to God. That's the whole purpose of his existence, isn't it? To take worship. He wants the worship of man. So as we worship God, as we worship Jesus, as we praise our Lord and Saviour, as we praise him, we'll find that we're rebuking the devil less. You know, rebuke the devil and this and that. Well, let's start praising God, and we'll have to rebuke the devil less, won't we? Praise God. God bless you, brethren.
So disaster, let him in constancy fall.